nickname, man. I know, man. I figured my joke fell flat, man. Bad audience. That means know your audience. You're studying, though. I know. I understand. All right, we are on 2 Samuel chapter 11. I think we can get through the chapter today, actually. We're at beginning at verse 16. David had just written a letter to Joab to put Uriah at the front line so that he's struck and died, so that he would be struck in the battle and die. And so we're about to start verse 16, okay? Vayahi Bishmor Yoav El Ha'ir, Vayitain et Uriah El Hamakom, Asher Yadakian Shechael Sham. And it came to pass, notice this is an infinitive construct from Shamar, while Job was kind of keeping watch over the city, notice the temporal, the infinitive construct plus bait after Vayahi, so a temporal. So while Joab was guarding or keeping watch over the city, Vayitain, here's the main clause, he put Uriah in the place or at the place where he knew, now here comes the key clause, he knew that men of valor were there. Remember, he was supposed to put him up in the front line, and namely that's their way of saying up close to where the action is. So notice following a verb of perception, yada, you have this key clause as the object. He knew that the men of valor were there. All right? Verse 17. Vayetsu anshei ha'ir, vayilachamu et Yoav, vayipol min ha'am, mei avde David. Vayamat gam Uriah ha-chiti. So here it is. So the men of the city went out, and yilachamu, and they fought Joab, and there fell. Notice it's kind of an impersonal. He fell, but we would say, and there fell from ha'am, from the troops, from the army, specifically from the servants of David. So notice how that vayipol, we would probably say, and some of the army of the servants of David fell. All right, vayamat, and died also Uriah the Hittite. Okay, so notice how fast the action goes in verse 17. You don't get any details of anything. It's just bam, bam, bam to get you to the next part of the story. Good. Any questions through 17? Okay. Verse 18. Vayishlach Yoav, vayage leDavid et kol divrei hamilchama. Then Joab sent, and you'll find it later, again you see this, he sent a messenger, which we've seen throughout this section. So Joab sent a messenger, and he reported to David et kol divrei. He reported to David all the affairs or all the events of the milchama, all the events of the battle. All right, verse 19. Vayetzav et hamalach lemor, ke kalotika et kol divrei hamilchama ledaber el hamelech. And now here's Joab. So notice what happens. I just want you to see what happens time-wise in 17 and 18, notice how we're going, kind of progressing in the story. This happened, then the men went out, then they fought, then they fell, then Uriah died, then Joab sent, and then he reported. But notice, remember how biblical narrative will often give you the whole story and then go back and fill in the details. So verse 19 is not a further step in the story. It's what he told the messenger to tell David. So notice in verse 18, you already have this event he told David. Now it backs up, all right? Now, so I would translate like this. Now, Joab had commanded the messenger as follows, lemor. Here it is. Here's his words, kekalotaka. Notice that kekalotaka is a PL infinitive construct from kala, to come to an end. Remember, the call means to be at an end, and here it takes a direct object. Notice the cough is a temporal. So we would probably translate it, as soon as you have finished et kol divrei, as soon as you have finished all the reports or all the events of the war, led a bear in speaking to the king. Okay? Verse 20 now is the follow-up. Vehaya. And it happens if Ta'ala Chamat HaMelech, if the wrath of the king Ta'alas, if the wrath of the king is stirred up, we would say, see, notice that this is that common word to go up, but we wouldn't translate that. If the king gets angry is how we would probably translate it. Ve'amar, and he says to you, Madua nigashtem el ha'ir lehilachem. Why, okay, now look at this word. Why, let me translate first. Why did you approach the city to fight it? Okay, now notice that Nagash Tem is a Nifal perfect, second masculine plural from Nagash, to draw near. Here, this is an interesting thing that you guys probably don't know, that the root Nagash means to draw near, which you guys do know. If it's an imperfect or a participle, it's the call form. I'm sorry, yeah. If it's an imperfect or an imperative, it's the call form. If you're going to use a perfect, then it's the nifal. So here you'll see the nifal being used. It's kind of an interesting split there. So I don't think you see the call perfect of Nagash. All right. So why did you draw near to the city to fight? Halo yadatem et kol yorume al hachoma. Don't you know? Now notice how we would translate that they could shoot. This yoru is from yara. It's a hifil imperfect. So notice it behaves like a first yud vav verb. And yara in the call means to shoot, and also in the hifil. Here's the hifil form. So don't you know, or didn't you know, that they could shoot from upon the wall? And by that, by shoot, they mean shoot arrows, obviously. All right, now notice what's interesting is that instead of a key after yada, you have et asher. And this is rather unusual for kind of an indirect, you know, after a verb of perception. You would even translate that lada. Didn't you realize? See, that. So you would expect a kind of a key. Didn't you realize that they could shoot from upon the wall? Instead, you get et asher. And I kind of did a brief check through just the former prophets, and it's pretty unique. You know, there may be one other place, but usually you'll have the key, as we did at the end of verse 16.
You could do et asher word search?
Yeah, I look for a yada followed by et. Okay, and there's a few other places where it has that indirect speech kind of connotation. Notice it's kind of, that's kind of how it what it imitates here. Now, yada takes a direct object a lot, like he knew the men, or I knew him, or something like that, see? But to this kind of structure is a little more unusual. Any questions? Yeah?
How do you know that, what distinguishes that Nigash Tem?
Yes.
Is not a PL?
Oh, it no, it would imitate the PL and form those first nuns, right? But I don't think that you have any PL forms actually.
Okay, so
anything else?
Ambiguous, actually,
just the form itself, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's normally parsed as a nifal because you see this in the perfect and in the participle.
And it's the original nun that assimilates.
Right. That's right. When you have a nun with a sans fondret, that normally assimilates, and that's where that dagash is in the gimel. So then that's the nun of the. But you're right. If you just look at the form, notice that if you just look at the form, you could say, oh, that's a pl. But they're normally parsed as hifils because you have other forms that have that. I'm sorry, nifal, because you have that other. You have other forms that show that. Okay. Verse 21. Here he's continuing talking. Notice what's interesting here is Joab is telling the messenger what David will say or what to say when David says all this. All right, so here Joab is still kind of talking like David in verse 21. Mi hika et Abimelech ben Yerubeshet Haloisha Hishlika Alav Pelach Rekev Me'al Hachoma Vayamet Bet Teves Lama Nigashtem El Hachoma. Okay. Ve'amarta Gam Av Dekauria Ha'chitimate. Okay, now just to back up with the thought. Verse 20 again, remember. If it should happen that the king gets angry and says to you, why did you draw near to fight? Okay, didn't you know that they could shoot from the wall? Verse 21 now. Who struck? This is another Hifil from Nakah. Who struck Abimelech, the son of Yerubeshet? Okay, Abimelech was the son of Gideon. The name, his other name, remember, was Jerubbaal. So notice that this is Beshet, and I think if you look, sometimes you would expect to see Yerubboshet, you know, a shame. So here you have, instead of Yerubbaal, it's Yerubeshet, another name for Gideon. Okay, so Abimelech was his son, and this is the incident in Judges chapter 9. It's a very interesting story in which the end of the story, Abimelech goes to war against the city of Tebez, and all the people are in a tower, and they're going to bring down the tower, burn them out, and a woman throws a stone and crushes Abimelech. And Abimelech says to his sword bearer, hurry, kill me, so no one will say a woman killed me. It's kind of ironic because notice what is said here. Okay. Who struck Abimelech, son of Yerubeshet, namely Gideon? Was it not a woman? Did not a woman?